Half of me. Hello. Good morning. I'll just get this ready. Atamarie, whānau o te atua, peace be with you and good morning. I'm a bit too short. Family of God, good morning, Ola Street. I've been introduced, but I'll introduce myself again for those of you who don't know me. I'm Hannah Atchison. I grew up in this church, so I'll be a familiar face to many of you. I've been away for 2 years. It's been 2 years. It's crazy. It's gone so fast. So in those 2 years, there was 2020. Do I want to say more about that? I was finishing my final year of high school and at Waitaki Girls, and I was at Elam Church here in Oamaru, and then I shipped myself down to Dunedin in 2021 this year and have been at university studying neuroscience, and that has been fun. More fun has been I have been with an amazing church. I've got an amazing church home called Student Soul. We're a student church on campus in Dunedin, and so that's been a lot of fun. Should open this up. So that's where I find myself. We find ourselves at the moment, as London has brilliantly introduced, in Advent, the season of waiting before Christmas. It's pretty cool. It's this season that we're in every year, and you have read the lectionary reading already, and I was planning to, and we've got the words on the screen. Here we go. Do we want to read it again? Yeah? Awesome. Okay. Follow along on the screen, or if you've got the Bible in front of you. Mary visits Elizabeth. At this time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Down we go. Where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." By the way, the next part is called the Magnificat, Mary's song, Mary's hymn. This is what I'll be talking about today. Side note. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So, yeah, that's the Magnificat. It's called the Magnificat because the first line is, "My soul glorifies the Lord," and in Latin, Magnificat is the first line of that sentence. So we were very original in calling it the Magnificat. So when we've been hanging around church, reading and hearing the Bible for a while, we may lose sight of the fact that what we hear should be unexpected. We've memorized every twist and turn. We know exactly what's right around the corner. The jump scares no longer make us jump. We no longer gasp at the outrageous bits. We expect the unexpected because we've heard it all before. That's completely natural. We run the risk that everything dulls down a little bit. This is especially the case at Christmas and Easter. We engage with these events consistently, routinely, every year. I don't know about you guys, but it doesn't feel like Christmas yet to me. Does it? No, I don't know what it is. It's very strange. Yeah. No tree, yeah. That might be it. That might be it, actually. We forget or no longer see that Scripture portrays a countercultural, astonishing, and unexpected scene. We forget that they... Props to whoever introduced that to this church. It is a great memory of this time of year here. I guess you could say that it stuck because that's one of the first things that I thought of. You guys recognize that, right? Yeah. Cool. And in the passage that we've just read, I found that there are those unexpected moments are especially noticeable here, and I want to go through and take a second look at some of the key players in this passage and re-examine how truly unexpected what they do and say really are. So let's start with Mary. In the Magnificat, she declares herself so confidently blessed. Lyndon read it, and I wonder whether you caught it. She says, "I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth." Yes, whilst she finds herself in this complicated and reputation-compromising, scandalous, dangerous, completely unexpected situation, being pregnant and unmarried with a fiancé knowing he is not the father, she sees beyond all of this to see the blessing of being chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus. And her reaction is to praise God for that in this hymn. Where those around her are seeing this messy situation, she sees beyond it to see this blessing situation. Mary is in tune with how God intends for it to be a blessing. Mary on the outside is this young, poor woman, not in with the spiritually elite. As Lyndon shared, she's probably not the most virtuous girl on the block. But inside, she is full of faith and courage and trust in a good and gracious God that we've sung about today. She gets it. Like, maybe not when at the Annunciation, but here in the Magnificat, she gets it. She understands it. Mary also recognizes that what God is doing through her is only the beginning of something much bigger. That this blessing upon her is actually a signal that God is up to something. That he is overturning and reversing, he is subverting the worldly power and societal structures within which she lives. We see this when she quickly moves in the Magnificat, this hymn, from the personal to the societal, clearly declaring that God is subversive to the direction of worldly power. We see this in verses 50 to 53 here. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. I don't know whether you caught that, but Mary prophesies in the past tense that God has already made his unexpected moves. He has performed. He has scattered. He has brought down. He has lifted up, etc. Mary is speaking of this future that God will usher in through Jesus, through this child that she carries, as if it's already happened, as if it's a done deal, maybe because God is involved. So Mary, deemed among the least and most powerless in society, boldly prophesies with this exuberant confidence that God will completely overturn the way that society organizes itself. This sounds less like the gentle and sweet, meek, mild, docile girl that is often painted in nativity scenes. No, the Magnificat sounds like this 14-year-old peasant girl is a revolutionary. And she sees this revolution stirring, and she is excited. This hymn is the longest set of words spoken by a woman in all of the New Testament. And I am totally stoked about that, because they are a quality set. This song isn't cute and sweet. It's dangerous to the powerful and the proud, and it is a freedom song to the hungry and the humble, the powerless and downtrodden. And it has been used as a freedom song all the way back since the early church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, this German pastor, he is a theologian and writer and a staunch nonviolent protester of the Nazi regime. He called the Magnificat the most passionate, the wildest, some might even say the most revolutionary hymn ever sung. And this passionate, wild, revolutionary hymn is attributed to Mary. I wonder whether Mary, full of this expectant waiting and excited anticipation that we think about when we think about Advent, all of this for this brewing holy disruption that she sees about to take place. I wonder whether she thought something along the lines of, they won't be expecting that. So we have Mary, and we also have Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is surrounded by all these unexpected circumstances in this passage and in the circumstances of this passage. When Mary visits her, Elizabeth perceives exactly what's going on. In a loud voice, she exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." So Elizabeth finds this visit unexpected, just as Mary probably finds this greeting unexpected. There is nothing in this text to suggest that Elizabeth knew in advance that Mary is a mother-to-be, let alone the mother of her Lord. But the scripture does point to how she comes to know it. "And she was filled with the Holy Spirit." God actively working in unexpected ways. Elizabeth is pregnant with John, even though she is beyond her childbearing years. We tend to be pretty familiar with John the Baptist. He was charged with preparing the way for the Lord. He was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the eating locusts and honey guy. But as a baby, he was a miracle. He was unexpected. Elizabeth joins a whole host of biblical women, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, the Shunammite woman, and my personal favorite, and I think she's the coolest, Hannah. All these women are regarded as barren, then plot twist, God unexpectedly moves. They have a son who ends up being specially cool. They won't be expecting that. Elizabeth's husband is also silent. After an encounter with an angel in the temple, Zechariah is made mute, unable to speak, for the duration of Elizabeth's pregnancy until John is born. We've kind of got used to this story. Yeah, Zechariah's the mute guy, right? I don't think any of the kids out there went out there expecting to come back and find that Rhys couldn't speak. If we do a double take and properly consider it, they won't be expecting that. And then there's Jesus and his birth, death, birth, life, death, and resurrection is all just one big unexpected plot twist. The Son of God is sent to earth to live among us, not to condemn us, but on a truly radical rescue mission, overturning any notion that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love us, overturning any notion that God is apathetic or no longer sees the good in us or is just comfortable the way he is up there in the clouds somewhere. They won't be expecting that. He comes to earth to live among us as a baby, not the powerful Messiah we were expecting, a complete subverting of these expectations about worldly power and strength. You know what I'm about to say, and I want you to say it with me. They won't be expecting that. Thank you. Born to a mother and family, not prestigious, but impoverished. A thorough shake-up of our views on the value of and worth of the least of these. A clear validation of God's creation who are forgotten, oppressed, inconvenient, and marginalized. Say it with me again. They won't be expecting that. That boy who said that deserves an Oscar, honestly. He's iconic. Jesus goes on to live a life as a pro plot twister, hanging out with the wrong people, with fishermen for friends, dining with tax collectors and prostitutes, engaging with the undesirables of society. He does unexpected things, like miracles. Do I need to say anything more? We have this perspective looking on 2,000 years ago, but we can easily forget that they won't be expecting that. Then Jesus dies. And the long-awaited, powerful Messiah isn't just supposed to die. Again, defying the expectations we have about what God's power and strength, what nonviolent resistance and sacrificial love should look like. You know what I'm about to say. They won't be expecting that. And in the greatest turn of events in all of history, ever, Jesus is resurrected, victorious over death. He had predicted this to his disciples. They were told this several times, but you cannot say that you would have saw that coming if you were them. You know what I'm about to say. Say it yourselves. I was going to say they definitely weren't expecting that, but that's good. So this Magnificat, this song of Mary's, the whole story of Advent and the whole gospel is this complete subverting of our expectations. So what do we do with it? How is it relevant to our lives here in Waitaki, here in Oamaru, in Orwell Street? Let's start by allowing God to be God, recognizing and responding to the way he moves in unexpected ways, at unexpected times, in unexpected places, through unexpected people. This year, I have prayed a specific prayer several times, and it's very easy to pray. It's three words, but it can be very scary to pray. It is, surprise me, God. It is simple, but scary. It is a releasing of the illusion of control that we have. It is an inviting of God to do the unexpected. And yes, exactly that has happened this year, by the way. Let's take this hymn of Mary's seriously. Joining forces, actively co-laboring and participating with God and the body of Christ, personally and collectively, in this upside-down revolution that has turned, is turning, and will turn this world on its head, with a desire to see and feel your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let's live in ways that sharpen our eyes and ears to hear and see the hungry and the hurting and the hopeless, the sick, the lonely, the grieving, and the anxious of Oamaru, and to stand with them and do what we can to alleviate their suffering. And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me." Let's do all of this so that we may be able to look at our lives and the lives of those around us and say more often, more peacefully and more praisefully, "I wasn't expecting that." I invite you now to say with me, proclaim with me, the Magnificat, this freedom song, as a prayer and as a song of praise, together following in the footsteps of Mary. The words will be on the screen. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Yeah. Thank you for listening to what I had to say.